pair of pants to me, please?
Here they are, my liege.
I and I alone shall judge the adequacy of the zipper. Oh, it is a most excellent zipper. Great. Wonderful. Bring in the next pair of pants.
Lord of the Flies.
This pair of pants has no zipper. Who's responsible for this?
It was I, sire.
Will not be presented at this time.
I thought buttons might be better than a zipper, sir.
Have you considered snaps?
So we may bring you this episode.
Or perhaps Velcro.
Of Peculiar Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
Those of you who were expecting to listen to the cage match between Lisa Foster and Dame Judi Dench will be disappointed. That isn't going to happen, but we're going to do this podcast, so there's that, Miss Foster.
It's been postponed due to weather.
Yeah,
and lack of interest.
And our names have been taken down from the podcast, by the way.
They were removed. I was not prepared for that.
We don't think things are going to happen. Always think they'll figure out a way to get around it again.
Right.
Yeah, it actually did occur. Hey, let me get right to it here, Lise, okay?
All right, sir.
This is the lugubrious part of our podcast. Oregon's Bob Packwood passed away at the age of 93.
Oh.
This is a guy that resigned from the Senate back in 1995. Because he was fooling around a little bit. Aggressive sexual advances for more than 20 women, some who actually worked on his staff.
Yeah.
Check this out, Lisa. This is from his diary.
Okay.
He said, 22 staff members I made love to, and probably 75 others. And then in his diary also said, he was copying something in the copy machine room, and he said, in part, I had my jacket off and my sleeves rolled up, revealing the well-defined musculature of my sinewy arms, which were always bulging with desire.
Are you kidding me?
No, this is from his diary.
What the hell?
At night I wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head.
So I now announce that I will resign from the Senate, and I leave this institution not with malice, but with love.
Now here's the ironic thing about Bob Packwood. He's a Republican, and there probably was not another senator at the time that was a bigger proponent of women's rights legislation. Very influential in tax policy, but he believed in abortion rights, LGBTQ, before they even had that acronym. He was very supportive of that. So the conflict, the yin and yang of this guy is very fascinating, but I think it's true of a lot of people. You know, what particular day you happen to run into them, they could be a really good person or a not so good person.
Yes.
Anyway, so he is gone. The general director of the Seattle Opera for many years, a guy named Spate Jenkins, passed away at the age of 89. Now, he had never been a director of operas of any kind, but he loved opera from when he was a little kid, and he got this shot to be the director of the Seattle Opera, and he changed everything, most notably The Ring, the famous multi-part opera by Wagner, and he introduced things like above-the-stage translations so that people know what the hell they're talking about.
I didn't know about that. That's actually pretty smart.
It's really smart, and it became hugely successful.
You know, an opera company needs a niche, and if it can have one. And because the Ring, because Wagner's Ring had started here, what I did also was not only to present two different Rings, which are the four operas of that Wagner composed that are so important, but I presented all the Wagner operas of the standard repertory, of the standard, of the 10 standard works. And the opera, Seattle Opera, really to have this kind of niche known not only in the United States, but all over the world as being a house that emphasizes Wagner.
Spate Jenkins, he was 89. Then a person named Lemmy Pulliam, 50 years old. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of him. He was an opera singer himself. Mm-mm. But he was huge. I can't imagine how much he must have weighed.
Well,
he quit singing in his early 20s because one of his directors said, you know, you got a great voice, but why don't you call me after you've lost 50 pounds? So he quit. He worked as a security guard, a debt collector. But then at some point, he returned to the stage and triumphed there. Lemmy Pulliam, just a great story and a great voice.
It seems that that's kind of a requirement to be robust if you're going to be, I was trying to choose my words carefully, to be an opera singer, which is the direct opposite of being a rock star. Like, you wouldn't have a Mick Jagger on the opera stage. I don't think he'd be able to really do that.
He couldn't belt it out as effectively,
right?
Perhaps,
but
yeah, it's a different. I don't think Mick Jagger would be a very good sumo wrestler either.
That's what I was going to say. There's also that requirement. There's just some places that skinny guys just don't do well in, and that's, I can think of others, but I won't say them.
Remember, if you've ever watched the Today Show, there was a movie critic on there who had just passed away, Gene Shalit. As you and I were talking before we started recording this morning, he's one of those guys that you thought, he died? I thought he died years ago.
Yeah, it's the Mandela effect. We talked about that on a different podcast where you believe that, like if somebody had said, you know, do you think he's still alive? I go, oh, no, Gene Shalit croaked a long time ago. No, he just now croaked.
Yeah, 100 years old, did all these wacky commentaries and movie reviews. I don't know that many people did not find him mostly just very delightful.
The grinning Cheshire Cat certainly had me feline fine. He even sings in bowling alleys. Spare me.
Had the bushy hair and the gigantic mustache and the glasses.
Yeah, frozen. Very cool. Well, to me, funny people is passable, speaking colonically.
Looked like he was always wearing Groucho glasses.
Interesting look.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to oddball titles, the men who stare at goats would be hard to bleat.
Gene Shalit.
I think 100's a good round number to go out on, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It'd be a bummer if you were going to have your 100th birthday in one day and then you croaked when you're 99 and 364 days old. That would be just, damn it, damn it. I missed it.
I wonder, because you know that everybody, would you still have the party? I would want people to still have the party. Like, I'd be like, they'd be like, you know, that's just like her. That is just so like her.
And by the way, you don't need to bring presents.
Yeah.
And finally, Lisa, I bet you loved this guy. A lot of, particularly women did. Peabo Bryson. 75 soul singer. They called him the voice of love.
Oh, yeah. I remember that name now.
Remember, they used to call me that on the radio,
too.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Taking my time, girl. Freedom of the soul is the wisdom of the mind.
Well, Peabo Bryson was his first album in 1976 featured songs like this. It's just a matter of time.
It's just a matter of time, you and me.
But he probably was most famous for the duets that he did.
Tonight I celebrate my love for you.
Like this one with Roberta Flack, Tonight I Celebrate My Love.
No one's gonna find us. We'll leave the world behind us.
love to you.
And he had a number one hit as a solo artist, If Ever You're In My Arms Again.
If ever you're in my arms again, this time I'll love you much better.
And then in the early 90s, he sang for the Disney movie Beauty and the Beast with Celine Dion.
Yeah, that was such a great song.
Certain as the sun.
Certain as the sun.
Rising in the east.
Till as long as time.
Song as
they got a Grammy for that. And later from the movie Aladdin, he sang with Regina Bell, A Whole New World. Peebo Bryson, great singer, very soulful, the voice of love. Sorry, I just...
Why did people stop referring to you as that? Do you have any thoughts
I guess once, well, as a radio guy, you can mm-hmm. handle that, but once they get a look at you, they work. He's nothing like that.
He might be the voice of love, but he's the face of terror.
Yeah. Hey, let me clear up one thing from last week. Our last podcast.
Was it my fault?
No. Well, kind of. You talked about your career as a traffic reporter. And then, so I closed our show with the song Beep Beep, the old song by the Playmates. From probably back in the 1950s.
While riding in my Cadillac.
And so the song has two references in it. This is one of them.
A little Nash Rambler was following me about.
And I heard from somebody who said, what's a Nash Rambler? It's a car that's long gone.
Oh, what's a Nash Rambler? Only my dream car.
Well, they didn't know what it was. And then the way the song ends.
Beep, 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 beep. His arm went beep, beep, beep. Now we're doing 120 as fast as I could go. The Rambler pulled alongside of me as if we're going slow. The fella rolled down his window and yelled for me to hear. Hey, buddy, how can I get this car out of
same person said, what's second gear? What's that? And I realize, I think most people today drive automatics. They don't know how to use a stick shift.
Yeah.
And the term second gear meant nothing to this person. And so it made me start to think, well, gosh, what other songs might there be that also have references in them that don't work anymore or are so obscure that a lot of people listening say, what's that? You know, things like jukeboxes, slide rules, pay phones, typewriters, Walkmans, CB radio, pagers, all of that stuff is kind of obscure. I used to tell a joke that was not an original joke by me, but it was, what is the definition of an optimist? It's an accordion player with a pager. That joke doesn't work anymore. What's a pager? People don't know. So I made a little list of songs of things that have become so arcane that a lot of people don't even know what they're talking about. Remember this one? Paul Simon's big hit, Kodachrome.
Oh, yeah.
Kodachrome.
That 35 millimeter film, that for the most part, it's dead and gone. Remember, they used to have all of those photo mat places where you drop your pictures off and stuff?
One of my first jobs was working at a pharmacy, like I think it was called Rexall Pharmacy in the day.
Are you like most folks, struggling to keep up with the high cost of living? Then now's the time to go right on down to your Rexall store, because right now there's a terrific saving event.
So I worked in the photo area where people would come drop off their film and pick it up. And there was photo supplies for people who want to develop their own stuff. I loved getting into the it was awesome. I loved it. But yeah, we'd rifle through people's pictures.
Yeah. There was a whole Robin Williams movie, I remember, where he would look at people's pictures. It was really creepy.
Yes.
Here's a couple others. I want to get through these kind of quick. Remember this song by Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show? Sylvia's Mother.
Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's happy, so why don't you leave her alone? And the operator says 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes, please.
And he had to keep putting coins into the payphone for another 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Please, Mrs. Avery, I just want to tell her goodbye.
This one by, I think the group was called the Honeycombs. It was called Want Ads. I don't think newspapers run want ads anymore. It's all, you know, you've got things like
Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. Yeah.
Yeah. Obscure.
I bought a bourgeois house in the Hollywood Hills with a trunk load of $100,000 bills.
Bruce Springsteen had a big song called 57 Channels and Nothing On.
57 Channels and Nothing On. 57 Channels and Nothing On. 57 channels and nothing on.
Well, now we got a lot more channels than that. And frankly, I think we're kind of in a golden age of storytelling with streaming services. There's plenty of stuff that's on.
It's on demand, so you don't have to wait. Remember that phrase, appointment television. You don't have to set your Thursday night aside to watch what you want to do. It's just you watch it when you want to.
57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on.
There's this Johnny Cash song called Get Rhythm that refers to a shoeshine boy.
A little shoeshine boy, he never gets low down, but he's got the dirtiest job in town. Bending low at the people's feet on a windy corner of a dirty street. Will I ask him while he shined my shoes how'd he keep from getting the blues? He grinned as he raised his little head. He popped his shoeshine rag and then he said, get rhythm.
They still have shoeshines at the airport.
Yeah, at the airport. But they used to be on street corners and, you know, downtowns. They're gone. You just don't see them anymore. Boz Scaggs had this song called Loan Me a Dime.
Somebody loan me a dime. I need to call my old time.
And it was because he wanted to make a payphone call.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Telephone Man, another one that just doesn't kind of work anymore.
Mr. Telephone Man, there's something wrong with my line. When I dial my baby's number, I get a click every time. Mr. Telephone Man, there's something wrong with my line. When I dial my baby's number,
for that matter, speaking of phones, we just played this song not long ago, Jim Croce's Operator.
Mm-hmm.
Operator, oh, could you help me place this call?
Yeah, And just one other one by Rupert Holmes. It was called Answering Machine.
I'm so sorry you have just reached my answering machine. I'm not in at present. I'm sure you know this whole routine.
People ain't got them anymore for the most part. So,
oh, the good old days.
Yeah, the good old days. Yeah. Well, you know, we just played that thing by Peebo Bryson. And yeah. I mentioned his passing. There is somebody sent me this song, this artist on that they found on YouTube, and I immediately here it is. It's by a man named Eddie Dalton.
I don't move as good as I used to. Some days it takes me a minute or two, but the world keeps turning like it's meant to do. And time don't wait, it just carries you through.
Man, that guy is great. Soulful. And you see his face as he's singing. He's a graying, older guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, this guy's great. How have I not heard from him? Because he's got gray hair. He's just terrific.
We're just passing through time, like the wind through the pines. Just small pieces in a bigger design.
Well, it turns out, and you're the one I will give credit to discovering this for me, Eddie Dalton is a completely AI generated thing.
And a sky full of blue, and the radio playing that worn out tune.
Not a real person.
Yeah.
And it was a project of a guy named Dallas Ray Little. He's out of South Carolina. He says that while the vocals and the visuals are generated by AI, he's the guy that actually writes the lyrics and the songs. But this Eddie Dalton has charted on iTunes and singles charts. Songs like the one I just played. This one, also, Cheap Red Wine.
I still buy that same old cheap red wine, even though you ain't been here in a long, long time.
And these songs are occupying top spots concurrently on this album, which reached number 3 on the U.S. iTunes charts. And I think a lot of listeners believe that it was a real artist. And now they're not so sure, now that they know he's not a real person, but completely AI generated. So I guess my question is, can we still appreciate this music knowing that it's not a real person?
No. No, it's a ripoff. There's no lived experience behind this guy. There's nothing created. It's generated. I get really very prickly about AI creeping into the creative area.
Yeah.
And not only that, but tricking people. If they had said, hey, listen, we've created this singer. It's completely AI based. I still think you're going to like the stuff. That's different, but it's tricked people, and I have a really tough time with being tricked. So when you had sent it to me and I looked at the video, I could immediately tell it was an AI-generated visual, because his mouth didn't even move correctly. So I went, nope, this is fake. I can already tell. And I punched it into...
You were right. Yep.
I punched it into Google, and the AI overview came back and said, yeah, this is AI. Ironically, the AI said, yeah, this guy is made up.
This is generating a lot of discussions among musicians and music fans, and some of them say, like you do, this doesn't reflect real, true human experience and emotional depth.
It's other
people say, no, it doesn't diminish the listening experience. If the song is compelling and it sounds good, that should be good enough.
Remember you laughing in that candlelight, bare feet on the floor.
That's a different issue, though. That's a different issue. It doesn't matter how great it is. The issue is that it's being presented as the principle of the thing is what's
duplicity,
bugging me.
Mendacity.
Yes. Yeah, it's just I just feel like it's. It's again, it's generated. The creating, all the discipline that goes into somebody who writes and then performs and tweaks and gets it. That's the work that goes into the thinking behind something that's really great, whether it's an art piece or a song or a story that's written. You know, there's a lot of backlash now in the audiobook narration field where they're trying to clear out AI books that are being forced upon, not forced, but put up for narrators to do. And a lot of narrators are like, I'm not narrating a book that was written by AI. So I love that there's backlash on it. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with it. And I point it out when I see it. I'm like, it's fine if somebody wants to enjoy it. I think it's a ripoff, and I think it's really lazy.
I kind of go with you, but I also believe that it's kind of a quixotic, as in Don Quixote, quixotic mission to push back against this, for because it's just going to happen. It just is. I don't think I'm going to put this genie back in the bottle.
We're not, but I'm hoping that more and more people will shun it so that it is not so popular, and that people point out, don't trick us. Yeah. At least tell us if it's AI generated.
What a warning then label we
have,
on there.
Then we have the ability to then decide whether we want to move forward and consume it. But for things to be put on, thrust at us, I don't like the trickery behind it. That bugs the hell out of me. Yeah. And this is where people get scammed, and you know, I don't like being tricked. Nobody likes being tricked.
We're living in a world of conspiracy theories, and this just fuels it all the more.
It's awful.
Wait till the upcoming elections happen.
Oh,
not to mention 2 years from now, the next presidential election. We're going to see all of these so-called video clips from what somebody supposedly said that never happened. It's out of control.
I think a lot of us can sort of discern. For the most part, I lean more towards, I'm very suspicious now of anything. And I'm like, you'll need to show me if this is a real or not. But there are a lot of people who just take everything at face value and they vote, and they don't look in. They don't have critical thinking skills. And this is, again, one more way that propaganda can really create some major problems.
I think you've touched on the critical thinking thing, and I've heard a lot of talk about this lately, that people, and it starts in school, they don't learn, kids aren't learning anything.
Nope.
And if you don't know something, hey, AI will tell you the answer. You don't need to know anything. We got you covered. It's disturbing. I know we're probably just, you know, whistling into the wind here, but it startled. That caught me by surprise, and I'm glad you caught it.
Fake.
Hey, I love this story, Lise. Tell you what, before we get to that, can I introduce a new feature of the podcast?
Yes.
I got a email, not just one, I've got a couple that said, hey, your podcast is fine, but you guys are so, so parochial and so... kind of dumb. Yeah, dumb, I guess they would say. They don't say it in so many words. But they said, how about a little culture once in a while? Would it kill you?
Really?
Cashman, especially, you spend your time criticizing commercials and things like that. What are you doing to elevate human discourse? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Why don't you introduce a little highbrow stuff once in a while? You don't need to overdo it, but just once in a while. So with your participation, Lisa, I sent you something that I would like you to read in a new feature that we're going to reluctantly perhaps introduce right now, called Peculiar Playhouse Poetry Pause.
Peculiar Podcast Poetry Pause.
And here is one of those pauses.
This is a Peculiar Podcast Poetry Pause.
He went away, and you hung around, and bothered me every night. And when I said I wouldn't go out with you, you said things that weren't very nice. My boyfriend's back, and you're going to be in trouble. You see him coming? Better cut out on the double. You've been spreading lies that I was untrue, so look out now, because he's coming after you.
This has been a Peculiar Podcast Poetry Pause.
Okay, so there you go. Hey, Lise, I love this.
And by the way, we don't want to hear another word about it, people.
Yeah, there's your culture.
There you go. Okay. There.
Maybe we'll do it another time or two here, just to satisfy some intellectual out there.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, what were you going to say?
I just love this story. Do you know who Robert Francis Prevost is?
No.
He's a Chicago-born cardinal who now goes by the name of Pope Leo in Vatican City.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. So get this. He puts in a call to his bank back in Chicago area.
Did you hear this story?
Because he wanted to change his phone number and address that the bank had on file for him. And he has a close friend named, who's another priest, Father Tom McCarthy. And he told this gathering of Catholics in Illinois a short time ago what happened to Pope Leo, Robert Francis Prevost, when he tried to call and make that happen. He called the bank branch that he belonged to.
It's a lady. He says, "Yes, ma'am, I'm Robert Prevost. I'd like to change." She asks all the security questions. And then he says, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. It says here you have to come in person." And he said, "Well, that's not going to, I'm not going to be able to do that. We can't change. No, sir. I gave you all the security questions. I'm sorry, sir. Would it matter to you if I told you I'm Pope Leo?" She hung up on him.
So there you go. Even if you're the Pope, you still have to deal with customer service.
I bet that happens to you a lot when you're calling and saying, "Yes, I need to check something on my bill." "All right, sir. What is your name, please?" "Pat Cashman." "Yeah, right. Yeah." Yeah.
I wouldn't say this happens very often. More back in the day when I was doing multiple things. Once in a while, somebody might recognize me. And one person said, "I got a bet with my friend that you are not Pat Cashman. Am I right?" I said, "Yeah."
What?
Well, and that just kept going until the point where I had to produce my driver's license to prove to them who I was. Why I even complied with that, I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
I bet this is a fake ID anyway, probably.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, you got me. You're right. It is fake ID.
Oh, my God.
This is a peculiar podcast, Poetry Pause.
He's been gone for such a long time. Now he's back, and things will be fine. You're going to be sorry you were ever born, because he's a kind, big, and he's awful strong. You're a big man now, but he'll cut you down to size.
This has been a Peculiar Podcast Poetry Pause.
Hey, I like this story. It's about the 20th anniversary of what happened on the BBC back in London 20 years ago. There was a guy, and I think his first name is Guy Goma, G-O-M-A. And he was at the BBC headquarters. He's originally from Africa, and then he migrated to England, and he was applying for an IT position at the British Broadcasting Corporation headquarters in London. And so they said, "Yeah, come on in and for the interview." And so he got there, and they ushered him into a room, and they told him to sit at a table. And then a news anchor that he recognized walked in. "Hey, come on, let's go. We're ready for you." So he goes in. Well, the bottom line is he was mistaken for another person. He's not Guy Goma. The guy they wanted to interview was a guy named Guy. It's a similar name. I don't see it in front of me here, but it's a similar name.
Yeah.
But so this poor man is ushered in, and he doesn't really know what he's there. They're putting makeup on him. He said, "Why are they putting makeup on me? I just want to interview for this IT position." But he didn't say anything. Guy Cooney was the guy they wanted to talk to, who was a technology journalist, and they wanted to talk to him about an online music case involving Apple, tech giant, and Apple Core, which is the Beatles record label. So they think that this is the guy they want to interview, and it's something you actually need to look at, and maybe we'll put up the YouTube link so you can see his face. But he, right off the bat, he realizes, I don't know what they're asking me. I think they've got the wrong guy. But he decides to just go with it. And he answers questions as best he can. Here's a little bit of that.
So what does this all mean for the industry and the growth of music online? Well, Guy Cuny is the editor of the technology website News Wireless. Hello, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Were you surprised by this verdict today?
I'm very surprised to see this verdict to come on me, because I was not expecting that. When I came, they told me something else, and I'm coming. You got an interview there, so it's a big surprise anyway.
A big surprise.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah. With regards to the cost that's involved, do you think now more people will be downloading online?
Actually, if you can go everywhere, you're gonna see a lot of people downloading to the internet and the website, everything they want. But I think it's much better for the development and to improve people what they want and to get on the easy way and so fast the things they're looking for.
This does really seem to be the way the music industry is progressing now, that people want to go onto the website and download music.
Exactly. You can go everywhere on the cyber cafe and you can check. You can go easy. It's going to be very easy way for everyone to get something to the internet.
Thanks very much indeed. I think we can now also speak to...
I just love it. And it went very viral. And 20 years later, they're still talking about it. They say it was one of broadcasting's big blunders. Mistaken identity. The guy's interviewed, just a regular guy, as an expert on this new show.
One of my favorite movies, as you know, is Peter Sellers being there, which is a great example.
That's a great example, yeah.
It's a great example of somebody who, you know, isn't all there, but they mistake his feeble-mindedness for brilliance, and it's such a classic movie. Yeah. I will never not love that movie. Shirley MacLaine is sublime in that film as well.
I'm Chance, the gardener.
The gardener?
Yes. Since I was a child, I worked in this garden.
Then you really are a gardener?
Oh, yes.
May I ask your name?
Chancey Gardner.
Mr. Chancey Gardner.
Mr. Gardner, the New York Times spoke of your peculiar brand of optimism. What was your reaction to that?
I do not know what it means.
Ho, he was very clever, keeping it at a third grade level. That's what they understand. He's very, very sexy. But I think he's brilliant.
They sort of leave it on the, I believe the end of the movie is that is now the next step.
Yeah.
These billionaires or millionaires back then.
Yeah.
Are rallying around because he's got their best interests at heart, they think. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It is such a great movie.
Yeah,
you haven't seen it, being there.
Yeah,
who
could become president not knowing anything? This is an absurd premise. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, anyway, I love that story about Mr. Goma. And then he finally got the interview for the IT position. He didn't get it. After all of that, he didn't get it. He did inform the BBC staff after the interview that they had the wrong man. But by then, it had already been on the air. And the thing is still viral. People still love looking at it. And he was a very sweet man in the way that he did that.
Have you ever had somebody mistakenly attribute something to you or mistakenly think you had a certain skill and you just went with it and didn't correct?
Yeah, and I can't give you a specific example, but I certainly I've done that. Or you try to go for something that you're not qualified for.
Yes.
When I got this opportunity many years ago to be the male lead in the Fifth Avenue Theater production of Hello, Dolly.
Yes.
And then I thought, I'm not a singer. I'm not a dancer. I can't do that. And then they continued to persuade me. Well, you know, Walter Matthau played the same role in the movie, and he can't sing. And
look at him.
Yeah, look at him. You mean that he's dead? Yeah, there's that. But I mean, otherwise. So I did it feeling like I was a fraud all the time, and I wasn't very good, but I was okay. But I just loved the encouragement I got from everybody that said, no, you're doing great. You're doing great. So you think you can pull stuff off that you doubted you could do, and then you just decide, I'm going to go with it. I got to take the risk. I'm never going to get a chance like this legitimately, so I'll just fake my way through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I got just a couple more things I wanted to talk about here. One of them, you know me and my thing with commercials. I watch commercials. Most people fast forward past them now. And we have that capability now because we can record just about anything. We don't have to put up with commercials. But I watch them. And this one, and I'd like to know what you think about this. This one, to me, has crossed a line. If there is a line at all anymore in this world of ours.
So you have finally had it, is what you're saying.
Well, I don't know that I've had it, but I just think, gee, I couldn't conceive of that years ago. They wouldn't do that. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, if you saw a bra commercial, you never saw an actual living woman wearing the bra on TV. It would always be on a mannequin or something like that. More
well,
vaguely
no, it
alluded.
Was actually, no, you're remembering incorrectly. It was actually the woman, this was so dumb. The women had to have a tight-fitting sweater on.
Well, that came later, yeah.
And the bra over that.
Yeah.
So
but I'm older than you, and I remember when it was just, they just showed it on a mannequin.
No,
a
I
woman,
don't think so. I'll look it up.
Okay, you do that. And okay. Anyway, this is the commercial. It's for Pepto-Bismol. And Lisa, this is the one where, I don't know if you've seen it, there's an Asian man. They're sitting in a group, like they're at some kind of meeting. And he farts. Said, I've got gas.
Who wants to share what they're holding in?
I'm holding in gas.
Try Pepto-Gas and bloating. It relieves bloating, discomfort, and pressure.
I call that a breakthrough.
Pepto for targeted gas relief.
So what do you think? Does that cross a line for you?
I think that it's time. No, I think it's real life. I mean, have you ever had that situation come up for you?
No.
Oh.
I never have. No. I've had... I've had doctors look into it. They said, you know, you should be making some kind of noise once in a while.
I don't know. It's like Pepto-Bismol.
Well, why can't we just say he has gas? Why do you have to demonstrate it? I don't know. I just thought that was extremely tacky, and it's crossed.
Oh, come on now. Are you continuing the highbrow thing here? This is a man, I'm talking to the listeners now, not you, Pat. This is a man who taught me how to make fart noises with my hands.
But did I encourage you to do it on the air?
I think you did.
And, well, as long as you did it on the air and not me, then I can still stand on the high ground.
Fart noises with my armpits, which I could do that one. I could only do it with my left armpit, though.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
There was something wrong with your right armpit.
There was something wrong. You also let off a fart bomb in the studio once. We got in trouble with HR for that. Yeah. I don't know why I got dragged into that.
Yeah, I was good. I was at a convenience store in the morning before I got to this radio station. And when you check out, they have little items there. And they had these things called fart bombs. And I thought, I'll buy one of these and talk about it around the radio. Well, we set it off on the radio, which... You know, no radio listener can experience it, but it was horrible, just horrible. And it went through the entire ventilation system of the building where there were other radio stations, sales departments, general managers' offices, and all that. Everybody could smell this thing. It was horrifying. Get a little bit of trouble for that.
We did,
but it wasn't a commercial. There's my point.
I don't know. I think it's fine.
Commercials, to me, are the last vanguard of public taste, at least on television and stuff. So now that's no longer true.
I just
true.
Think you need to loosen up a little bit about it. Oh. Was it like a disgusting fart? Was it like a wet one? Was it long? I mean, if it, you know, it didn't sound like it was that over
Would you
top.
Like to hear it again? Here it is. So it wasn't long, but it was definitely not a, you know, an armpit thing either. One more commercial I want to talk about.
All right.
This is just me. This is bugs me. It wouldn't bug anybody else. But I, you know, I've did a little TV work myself. I've done some commercials, produced them, directed them. And there's a commercial for Jardiance. I don't even know what Jardiance is, but here's the commercial. It's a commercial where they're supposedly filming another commercial. And so listen to the director say cut before the music even ends.
The little pill with a big story to
cut.
Tell.
Jardiance plays a role in my story, too.
Now, you don't yell cut before the scene is done. Now, I know they need to constrict this because it's a 30-second commercial. But that every time I watch it, I go, what are you doing? You don't yell cut yet. Wait till the music ends. Now, if you thought I was being picky about the fart thing, that this is really mm-hmm. picky, I know, but it bugs me every time yeah. I watch it.
The little pill with a big story to
cut.
Tell.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry these things annoy you.
Well, I'm glad to get it off my chest. And
they annoy you
thing.
To the point. They annoy you to the point that you have to actually write it down and tell me about it.
Yeah.
That
if I didn't have this outlet, Lisa, I don't know what I'd probably explode in fury. I'd probably be a guy with a gun on top of a clock tower.
You would just come completely apart.
Yes. So I'm so glad we have this avenue.
Okay. What
for
else
redress.
Is bothering you? What else is bothering you?
Nothing. That's it.
Well, I thought you said you had one other
well,
thing.
Well, it's
said,
not
and one other thing.
Well, it's not that important. I'll save it for next week when I can go into full bridal fury.
This is a peculiar podcast. Poetry pause.
My boyfriend's back. He's going to save my reputation. If I were you, I'd take a permanent vacation. Yeah, my boyfriend's back. Look out now. Yeah, my boyfriend's back. I could see him coming, so you better get her running right now. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
This has been a Peculiar Podcast Poetry Pause.
Time now for our joke of the week. By the way, I hope you culture nuts out there are satisfied now. I hope you're satiated with the poetry that you rendered so beautifully, Lisa.
Yeah, thank you very much, Pat.
You're welcome.
So the joke of the week, can we talk a little bit about what's happening with that, the joke of the episode?
Well, why don't we talk about it after the podcast is over? Just you and
well,
me.
Well, I just wanted to, because sometimes it feels like you just sort of are kind of phoning that part in. I don't mean to criticize.
It seems like that?
Yeah, it just seems like you just sort of grab one out of your butt and throw it out there. And
well, no,
it
this
does
is
the job.
People don't need to know all the details of how we do this podcast. But I actually have a staff that of researchers. I got about 11 people, and they ferret out the best joke of the week. So this is
not a
grab bag thing.
Yes,
they do a lot of research, a lot of hard work. They're well paid for it, and it takes 11 people to come up with this joke. A honeymoon couple stayed at the Watergate Hotel in Washington. Mm. Yeah, the famous Watergate.
Yeah, I know it.
The bride was worried, though, because she said, what if this place is still bugged? And so she asked her new husband to search the room thoroughly, which he did. He looked behind the curtains, he looked under the bed, in the wardrobes, the closets, under the rug. Oh, wait. Beneath the rug, he found a mysterious disc. The disc was maybe 4 to 5, maybe even 6 inches. It was a round disc, and the disc had 4 screws in it. So using his Swiss Army knife, the guy undid the screws and threw the disc out the window of the hotel.
Brilliant.
Well, the following morning as they checked out, the hotel manager said, "How was your room? How was the service? How was your stay at the Watergate Hotel?" Then the groom said, "Why are you asking so many questions?"
"Oh, well, the room under you complained
that the chandelier fell on them.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, staff of 11. It killed.
Very nice.
My boyfriend's back and you're gonna be in trouble.
Hey, la, hey, la, my boyfriend's back.
When you see him coming, better cut out on the double.
Hey, la, hey, la, my boyfriend's back.
You've been spreading lies that I was untrue.
Hey, la, hey, la, my boyfriend's back.
So look out now, cause he's coming after you.
For listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.